Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
The greatest commandment, loving him as the decades unfold. We started this theme a little bit last week, just a little bit. But I really wanted to spend a whole session talking about this concept of as the decades unfold, because we are setting our scope not to love God for, you know, the fall, but to love him for all our days. And I've just found so many challenges in trying to do that, and I've also found a few pieces of pro tips, to steal another redheaded's phrase, some pro tips on how to keep our hearts engaged in loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength as decades pass. And that's what we're talking about today. Well, more than anything, and I think that probably you're in this boat too. You know, to keep coming to a series on the greatest commandment, you kind of have to either want it or hope that I've changed subjects, you know? So I believe that, we're just going to go with that first one. So I believe that in your hearts, you want the same thing that I do, and that is when you stand before Jesus, that he would say about your life that it was a life well lived, that his assessment would be that we loved him well, we served him well, that we did what we were put here for, that would be his assessment. I believe that that's what you want. I know for me, I think about that all the time. If you ever hear me in passing, if you ever just hear me go, oh God, help me, oh God, help me, that's what I'm praying. It's not about anything specific. It's about everything all at once. I pray it all the time. I'll be in the kitchen. I'll be walking down the thing. I'll be pacing back and forth. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I'm thinking about this subject. I'm thinking about a life well lived, which breaks down to a million micro details, breaks down to how I carry my heart and what I think about and all those details. But really, when I pray that prayer, and I pray it often, some of you around the room are like, I think I've seen him pray that. I think I've heard that. When I pray that, I am constantly, I'm praying about this subject, that when I stand before him, that those eyes like fire. In fact, let's put up that verse, Cherish. I think I'm skipping around a little bit. It's Revelation 1:14. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. I want for those eyes like blazing fire to look right into my eyes, and with no, with nothing but truth and honesty, for him to stare right into me and for him to say, well done. For this assessment to be that he saw my life and he said it was a life well loved. It was a life that was lived in love for him, and then out of that overflow of that, loving people. You know, if you want to love people better, just fall so in love with God. Then you'll be able to love other people well. You can't pursue loving people well apart from the greatest commandment, because then you'll wind up depleted. It'll wind up with fake. You'll have impure motives. So really our greatest objective is to love God well, and then out of the overflow of that, we'll have plenty of love to share with other people. And so I want that so bad, and I think you do too. And today, that's really what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be talking about that. I want to share an encounter that someone had that you may or may not know the name Bob Jones, but he was a prophetic voice that was closely connected to the prayer movement, of which, you know, we are the biggest supporters of the prayer room mission space just a half a mile from here. And so that prayer ministry is part of a bigger movement of houses of prayer all over the world, really, at this point. And one of the primary prophetic voices that the Lord used to set the prayer movement on a right course, so that houses of prayer, like the one next door, so the houses of prayer that would pop up would have the right thought process, the right DNA, and the right pursuit, was a man named Bob Jones. And God just used this man incredibly in the life of setting the genetics of the prayer movement in the United States and beyond. Well, Bob had a powerful encounter that changed his life. He died. He died and he went to heaven, and he was actually had an encounter with the Lord. And that's anytime you've got somebody that had a death or near-death experience or whatever happens there, where they go to heaven and talk to people up there and come back, however you define that, I don't really care. I'm going to say he died and came back to life, okay? But however you define that, he had this happen. And when he's standing before the Lord, He's expecting the Lord to like speak to him about all the ministry that he's done, all the prophetic words that he's served, all the people that he's helped. And the one word that the Lord gave him was, "Bob, did you learn to love?" And it was like the only thing that even mattered to God. Did you learn to love? And Bob understood that was that twofold greatest commandment, second greatest commandment, love God, and then out of the overflow of loving God, love people out of that overflow. And Bob was like terrified. He was struck in his soul. He's like, I don't really think I want the honest answer to that question out in the open right now. I know the one I'm talking to knows the answer. I don't know that I want to be in a position to answer the question because I am very much not okay with the version of response that I feel comfortable giving at this point. And I just think about all of us, we're all going to stand before him and he's going to ask the question, did you learn to love? And how much money you made will not ever be a question he asks you. And how many of this and how much of that and how many promotions and how great and those things, they don't even show up in heaven. That's not on the agenda at all. But this all-consuming question, did you learn to love? Man, I want my answer to be yes. And I'm just telling you, the way that this works, the reason that Jesus said the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor, is like the first one, is because it's overflow from the first one. You can't do the second one. Not really. You can do religion. You can do nice deeds. But you can't really love people if you don't have God's love, because you have to love them the way that God loves you. And the only way you can do that is if you're encountering his love. So the answer in this life, the objective, the lifelong pursuit is to learn how to love God with all, so that when we stand before him at the end, those eyes like burning fire can blaze right through us. And with great delight, he can say, you loved me. You learned to love. You heard the message that my servant Bob Jones came back with. You heard the message that Jesus said was the primary objective, the greatest of the commandments, to love God. You learned. I just want it said of me, and I want it said of you. I think about it. This series has just caused me to get real pastoral in my prayers for you. Real like, oh God. And I pray like on my way here every Sunday morning, I'm like, oh God, please touch people with this. God, please help them love you more because of these words today. Because I'm just feeling this ache of, we've got an incredible opportunity because we have been camped out on the greatest commandment for so long. We've got an opportunity for those roots to really get deep. The potential, it's not a guarantee, but the potential for it. And I so want that. I'm so jealous for you that we would go on this journey of loving him well. Did you learn to love? Matthew 25, 23. We've talked about this verse in other settings, even in the greatest commandment. But I just want to ask the question, when it comes to being a faithful servant of Jesus, how could we possibly be assessed on any level more than what Jesus, whom we're supposed to be the faithful servant to Jesus, what Jesus identified as the greatest commandment? So this faithfulness word that we're going to look at, it applies to a lot of things. I just want to, typically it's been extracted in our thinking from a greatest commandment conversation. And I think it's key, it's primary and center to the greatest commandment. This is what the passage says. You guys know it. Matthew 25, 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now, if the master is a tyrant, workaholic, requiring lots of tasks, then maybe the subject doesn't have anything to do with love. But we know in this analogy, in this parable that Jesus tells, he's the master, and he's the one that's given us the greatest commandment. I want for Jesus to look at my life, and when I stand before him, say, "Well done. You did the greatest commandment to the fullest of your ability. You cared when you weren't doing it well. It bothered you. I tell you what, I want to be wholly bothered When my heart is not engaged in the greatest commandment, I do not want to be okay with that. I don't want to get caught up in this American dream. It is far too easy, friends, for us to get our eyes off of Jesus and start focusing on other things that are going to have absolutely zero account when we stand before him. They will not matter at all. In fact, they will be counted as loss to us if we're not careful. Oh my gosh, I want to stand before him and I want him to say, you did well. Well done. You did the greatest commandment to the greatest amount of your ability. That's what I once said. I think you do too. But man, that's just not going to come accidentally. And as I think about today's message, the title being Loving Him as the Decades Unfold, and I'm lucky enough now to have 2 decades under my belt of this. So I can talk about decades. I used to only say a decade, but now I got 2. Loving him as the decades unfold. We've got to make the commitment to the decades. This is a lifelong pursuit. It's not enough to go after this for a season of time. I want to give you guys just some thoughts, and we'll relate it even to the duration of 10 years is, okay? I want to give you a vision for decades. That needs to be our goal. When you as, you know, I promise you, I remember being 18 just like it was yesterday. I remember the thoughts. I remember sitting in specific Bible study settings. I remember hearing Bible verses and teachings for the first time and being struck by it and going, ooh, I want to make that real in my life. Time passes so quickly, and you will find yourself a decade from now the byproduct of how you spent the last decade. I'm going to say that again because it's really important that you catch this. You and your current circumstances, your current emotional capacities, your current heart longings, your current circumstances in life are the byproduct of what you've done the last 10 years. Even to some degree, what you've done the last month. I mean, it's just time, but 10 years is just broken up to a bunch of months. But I want you to start to see, I want you to start to understand where you are now is the result of what you've been doing, what you've been giving your time to over the course of the last number of months, weeks, and years, and even a decade. And as today I'm thinking about this 10-year thing, I want you to start posturing yourself to go, where am I going to be in my love for Jesus, the greatest commandment, abounding in love, well done, good and faithful servant, you paid attention to the thing I said was the greatest commandment. Did you learn to love? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? You will only be in a good spot by great intentionality. And I've just watched so many not be intentional. It's part of my ache today is I'm sharing even some of the pain of watching people start with that fire and then fade. Oh, it's so painful to watch. Oh, it's so painful. One of the things that I've noticed is that it's a lot easier now. It doesn't have no challenges. It has plenty of challenges. The circumstances are different. But I do want to give you some hope here. It's a lot easier for me to love God now than it was 20 years ago. Because I got 20 years of history of loving God. I mean, it is so much easier for me now to stay in the process. You know, what is Newton's law? You know, an object set in motion. And it's like, man, if you just keep going, you know, if you just keep loving Jesus, if you just keep loving Jesus, it actually, in your inner workings, in your lifestyle choices, in your ability to tell things no that are good things to tell no, it gets easier as the decades unfold. Other things shift in life and challenges, but that heart just grows. The roots go deeper by the streams of living water. You've got greater access. Just imagine a tree that's got deep roots, and there's a season where there's no rain for a while. That tree just laughs at no rain. The tree's like, I got deep roots. I've touched water way down deep. Furthermore, I've got fat roots that have been, you know, swelling with the love of God and understanding. And so when you experience different seasons, you want to have in your history a decade in your rearview mirror of holy hot pursuit for Jesus. You want to have that. It makes it so much easier. It makes it so much easier to keep saying yes to the things we're supposed to do and to the people that we're committed to and responsibilities. And it makes it easier to get up and love Jesus again tomorrow. Some of you, you're still on somewhat of the front end of that. You're going, I really want to get in some right routines. I want to challenge you. You want that more than anything. You want it more than a promotion. You want it more than a family. It's way more important than a family. Is your heart going deep in passionate pursuit for Jesus? You want this more than anything. And so for some of you in this season, you're like, man, I really need to get my priorities straight. I want to say amen. You need to get your priorities straight. Like, I really need to align my life. I got to figure out some rhythms that are healthy, that are helpful, that will cause me in 10 years to look back and go, I did it. I gave myself to Jesus for 10 years. Like, really? Not sideline, not church attendance, fiery, hot, greatest commandment love for a decade. If you're feeling any of those thoughts, I want to challenge you. It needs to be your absolute top priority right now. You want to get those systems in place. You want to get those heart measures aligned. It will yield dividends for years and years and decades. You want that so bad. I'm talking about way more than just not getting off course. I'm talking about being a locomotive engine that is plowing down the tracks. Not just, some of you, you know, are even in the spot where it's like, man, I feel like every, you know, few months, years, whatever it is, I feel like I'm a little bit off with the Lord. I feel a little bit off track. I'm talking about having that sort of a feeling so far in your rearview mirror, you barely remember it. Because you've been just trucking, going down the road for Jesus. Your heart burning, that you're not having to struggle with that. I don't really know if I'm really loving, I don't know if I'm really running after him. You can do this all your days. Jesus didn't give us the greatest commandment and there be a possibility that it's impossible. I mean, there's no possibility that it's impossible. Like, it is totally a real thing. It's the purpose for humanity. We have the capacity to change our hearts. I want to give you a bit of encouragement today, wherever you feel like you're at. You're like, man, I've been running, but I really want to make sure I keep my focus. I want to put the blinders on and stay focused. Some of you are like, man, I need to start a focus. I need to really start running after the Lord. I mean, I know him. I love him. There's no question do I love him, but I've not been living my life solely focused on the greatest commandment, making him my only and my focus and my source. We have the ability, wherever you're at today, wherever you're at in the equation at the moment, you've got the ability to set your heart, to change the trajectory. You can do it today. I'm so grateful for this. The greatest thing that Jesus ever gave us in our walk with him is just how simple it is to love him. There's nothing complicated about it. It's not that complicated. It's so simple. I'm going to read you this passage out of 2 Chronicles 11:16. Those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel. They followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Just want to focus on that. Just those from all the different tribes. So it's kind of a whomsoever. You know, it's anybody from any of the 12 tribes, just anybody with a pulse, that in their heart they said, I'm setting my heart to seek the Lord. You can do it as simply as that. You can just be whoever, whatever day, whatever circumstances. You can choose today to shift the entire course of the next decade of your life. And I want to encourage you, some of you, to do that. To get this thought process of, where are my priorities? What is it that's burning in my heart? What is it that I desire most? What is it that I care about the most? God, I want to love you with all my heart. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer with intentionality, with thoughtfulness. You've prayed, I want to love God. But maybe you've never prayed, God, I actually want to love you with all of my heart. And I'm not even sure I know what that means. I'm not even confident. I'm pretty confident I've never done it. I don't know exactly what it would look like. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. Today's the day to start praying it. God, help me to love you with all, not some, not for me to give you a little bit of my extra of my life, of my heart, of my attention. I want to love you with all my heart. And God, I feel completely unable to do that. So would you empower me? Would you help me? You're God. It was your idea. You knew how weak I am. So I need you to help me with weaky so that my heart might be able to love you with all, because that's what you commanded as greatest. Some of you need to start praying that today. That would be a profound thing. Stirring yourself up. It's a day to stir ourselves up for the love of God. To have our hearts stirred. Let's put up that verse out of Psalm 39, 1 through 5. Just look at this. Look at the connection here between what happens in the heart and what happens in the decision of the setting. What happens in the intentionality of, I am going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to watch my ways, David says. He says, I'm going to meditate as the fire burns. He says, teach me, show me the number of my days. Help me to know how many decades I have so I know how much time I've got to burn for you. This is a really intentional passage related to us setting our hearts for the greatest commandment, of us stirring ourselves up. Look at this. Psalm 39, 1. I said, I will watch my ways. This is David saying, I'm going to be intentional. Because what I'm about to pray in a minute, what I'm after here in just a second that I'm going to reveal in a little couple verses later in the psalm, I'm after a fiery heart for God. I want to have a deep relationship. I want love to abound in my heart. He says, I will watch my ways. I know that that's a crucial part of how I'm going to get this greatest commandment thing a reality in my life. I will watch my ways. And as I do, it says, my heart grew hot within me. As you watch your ways, as you set yourself for the greatest commandment, he will come and visit you and cause your heart to grow hot within you. Oh, it feels so good to feel him. We need to feel him. We were created to feel him. But so much of it is the posturing of what do we do with our time and attention? How are we doing with the watching of our ways? And then David says this, while I meditated, I took those thoughts about God, I took the burning of my heart, and I paused and I meditated on my love for God. I meditated. I thought about the goodness of the Lord. I thought about how much I want to give my heart and my life to him. I meditated on what it feels like to feel God. And I meditated. And the fire burned. Oh, it's like meditating was throwing logs on the fire of his heart. He goes, oh, I felt it. The fire was burning within me. Then I spoke with my tongue, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. This is David saying, nothing else matters. He says, show me about my life. Show me how meaningless everything else is. Show me how many days I have that I might make my entire life about this burning heart for you. He says, show me, reveal it to me. In the midst of this devotional moment where he's having his heart burning for the Lord, he's meditating on the Lord. He says, in that, he says, then my tongue spoke. And he said, this is what I prayed. I found myself praying the following prayer right in the middle of a deep devotional meditated moment with God. He said, how long am I going to live? I want to give you all my days. I want to be about this moment. This thing I'm feeling right now, I want to be about this the rest of my life. Show me how fleeting my life is. Help this moment with you make so much more sense to me than anything else I do throughout the week or the month or the year or the decades. See, we have the ability to stir ourselves up. This is incredible. David started with, I'll watch my ways. I'll be intentional about my ways, my time, my thoughts, my motives, my energy. I will aim it at the Lord, and then I'll trust that he will send that fire. Some of you today, just as a point of like encouragement, some of you need to change the way you're talking to God. Some of you, the majority of what you're talking to God about is intercession focus. Majority. And there's a place for that, for sure. But it's not supposed to dominate your relationship with God. Some of you need to change the way you talk to God. You need to change what you're talking to him about mostly. Include intercession, but let's try to reduce that down to like 20 or 30% of the conversation instead of 80 or 90%. Let's change the dialogue. I mean, can you just imagine what kind of relationship I would have with my wife if all the time I was asking her for stuff? It wouldn't go well, friends. It wouldn't go well. And that's a godly woman. Guys, our relationship, he's a person. It's a relationship. It's burning love in our hearts. It's not just God, do this, intercede for that, help this to happen, you know, make this stuff happen, help my small group. That's not what life is about. That's on the menu to be included, but some of you need to shift the prioritization of the way that you're praying. Let me give you a different thought process. Song of Solomon 8, 6 through 7. Start with this if you don't have anything else to pray. God, set me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench this love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. Start to dialogue with the Lord about the inner workings of your relationship with him, about the burning of your heart or the lack thereof. He loves transparency. I mean, you can't fake him out. You can fake me out, but you can't fake him out. And so just talk to him about the reality, like, living flame of love, fire, water. I don't even know what this stuff is. God, help me. Help Song of Solomon 8:6 even matter to me. I don't even get it. I don't care. That's a great place to start. If that's where you're at, just talk to him about it. Go, help. I don't even know how that could be a devotional prayer. God, show me how this could be a devotional prayer. And start on the journey. Some of you need to shift the conversation that you're having with him. And you need for a good long season, you need to get focused on your devotional conversation with the Lord. I love you. Help me love you. I want that burning heart in me. God, I love you. I want that. I want to have that heart for you. I want that to be real. But hopefully, that was a good enough sales pitch, but now let me give you a warning. I do this because I've been in pretty much full-time ministry. It's looked a little different one way or the other, but I've been pretty much full-time ministry since I was 18. And I've just watched so many people really, really love God that day, that month, that season of their early 20s. Really? I mean, like, if you were to look at them, you go, that one's going to make it forever. And there's no guarantees about that. It's the individual decision, day to day, week to week, year to year. And I've watched so many people that I looked up to, I admired their walk with Jesus. I saw the burning desire that they had to know God and love God, that I was jealous of what I saw in their life. I have countless examples of this, who are not walking with the Lord at all, walking with the Lord, but the thought process of burning for Jesus is so far away from them right now. They're concerned with other things. Because here's the thing about this burning love. There's only one position in your heart for first place. There's not two spots. It's not like first place and first place. There's first place, and then everything else is a good gap down. It's not like, you know, the race cars when they go around the track. The second place guy is that close behind the first place. It's not how it works in our hearts, because we were created to be a people with a one thing burning desire for Jesus. That's how we were created. So there is only one position for first place in our heart, and second and third and tenth are all a good ways down as far as where it's at in our heart, and there's no room for sharing that first place position. And so when people try to, for a season, I need to give focus for this. It sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? It'll take you right out of the greatest commandment. It'll take you right out of loving Jesus. And I don't mean you're going to go to hell. I mean, you're going to not enjoy the fullness of why you were created. You're going to not give Jesus that greatest commandment. And I do mean you're going to stand before him one day and he's going to say, did you learn to love? And you're not going to like your answer. I do want you to hear that. There are going to be so many, there are people dying right now who've lived the life I just described, and they're standing before the Lord and they don't like the answer that they're giving Jesus. It's happening right now. Don't be one. Don't be one. It's not worth it. Your career, that's more important than the greatest commandment? Are you serious? Are you being serious? That relationship is more important than standing before the eyes of fire and him saying, did you learn to love me? Friends, there's nothing more important. Nothing even close. But the enemy comes in and he lies to us. And he says, well, this is what everybody else is doing. Surely it must be wisdom. The enemy comes in and he says, well, you've got to prioritize this because you've got these other responsibilities. Pursue the greatest commandment and figure out how to get the rest of it done. See, because here's what happens. When we put something else in that top tier position, because there's only one spot for it, there's not two places, there's no sharing. When we put something else there, everything else immediately becomes totally secondary. It's not a little gap, it's a big gap. When Jesus isn't primary, he's barely even up there. See, there's a giant difference. There's a massive difference between Jesus and loving him with all my heart is number one, and it's number two. Massive difference between those two statements. Night and day. Lifestyles, choices, decisions, time, freedom, spending money, spending our energies, relationships that we're pursuing, initiatives that we're trying to make happen. Everything's different when Jesus is in that number one position. Guys, live this way for decades. I've watched too many wane in love for Jesus. They loved him. I mean, you talk to him at 20, you talk to him at 25, and they love Jesus so much. You talk to him about their life and you're provoked. But here's what's been interesting, and I don't know that it's fully sanctified. I now have a little bit of question in my heart about the 20 and the 25-year-old. Because now I know what it takes to turn a 20 into a 30-year-old and a 30 into a 40-year-old and still have a burning heart. I'm no longer impressed with the 20-year-old that loves Jesus. I'm impressed with the 90-year-old whose heart is burning. Oh, you get around them and they're just oozing love for Jesus. That's who I want to be. If we got time, that's who I want to be. That's who you want to be. But it's not going to happen accidentally. It's going to take a continual effort to put that thing back at first place. But the kids are driving me crazy. We've got to figure out a way to put the kids second and loving the Lord our God first. We have to. The kids cannot be an excuse to not love Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The career, the pains, the pressures, the disappointments, those things simply cannot be in charge of the first place position. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It has got to be the daily, monthly, weekly, yearly, decadely pursuit of our heart. And without it, there's just too many tripwires. There's just too much that will take us away. And you know what? It's so crazy to me. God gave you the desire to have those kids because God wanted those kids on the planet. But that doesn't mean those kids get first place in your heart. God gave you the desire for that business, that company, that position, that job. God gave you the desire for that because God actually had purposes for you through that, but it doesn't give that thing first place position. See, all of us are in the exact same race, all of us. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then, oh yeah, also I have some other things happening in life. And my things are a little different than your things and different than their things. It's the same race. It's the same obstacles. It's job and family and pressures and money and responsibilities. It's the desires of the heart that run rampant that cause us to want to go crazy and do silly things. All of us are in the same race. I've just watched too many that a decade changed a person. And I know them today, and I knew them 10 years ago, or 15, or 20. I knew where they were. I was talking with somebody it was yesterday or the day before, and I was remembering where they were at. I was remembering the role that they had in my life in my early days in Christ. And I look at them, and I think they love the Lord. And the greatest commandment is the furthest thing from their mind. And it's the furthest thing from their lifestyle. And I'm concerned because they're going to stand before the Lord and it's not going to be a heaven and hell issue. It's going to be a, did you learn to love? And the answer is going to be not really. That's horrifying. It's horrifying to me. I want to give you guys a little pause for advice. Oh, please hear me. Please hear me. Don't ever leave passionate, godly community for a dream. A people that are pursuing Jesus, a people that are provoking you to love Jesus, a people that are surrounding you and encouraging your decisions for the greatest commandment in a positive way, and discouraging your desires that are going to take you away from the greatest commandment, and they're discouraging those things. Don't leave that for a job. Why would you do that? Well, I can make more money. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Don't leave it. If the Lord speaks, you follow the Lord wherever he goes because he has great purpose. But don't you of your own initiative go, no, the grass is greener over there. I've just seen too many people. No, this relationship. I can have a relationship I've always wanted. And take yourself out of one of the protective grace bubble of relationships that are causing you, provoking you to love Jesus more. It is the wisdom of God to surround us with people that love the Lord. I don't mean don't love or don't know people that don't love the Lord. For sure have those relationships. How will anybody ever give their life to Jesus if we don't know any people that don't know Jesus? But who are your close friends? Who are those that you're running with? Don't leave a community that's burning for Jesus, that's helping you love Jesus for some other pursuit. It's not healthy for you. Now, if the Lord says it, follow the Lord everywhere because he has wisdom. He knows it's actually better in this situation and he will help you figure things out. But don't you of your own choosing leave a community that is helping you pursue the greatest commandment so that you can pursue some dream or some desire of your heart. It's folly. It's folly. I've just seen too many. And I'll tell you this, the ones that I've seen that left by the word of the Lord, they're doing just fine. The ones that left pursuing their own carnal desires that seemed like wisdom, they're not always necessarily doing so great. And I don't mean they've like left the Lord. I just mean they've left the greatest commandment because I knew them when they were about it. I knew them when it was burning in them. The greatest commandment, burning in them. We only get one chance at this. We're going to stand before the Lord. Say, oh, did you live in that really exotic place? Do you think Jesus cares? He made everything. He's like, I'll take care of you in the millennium. I'll get you set up. It'll be okay. Did you have the best this or the more of that? Just listen, I want whatever God has for me and nothing more. I don't want anything less, but I'll tell you what our culture, even church culture, has provoked us to do. Go get more for yourself. Make it happen for yourself. Use your gifts, your talents, your strength to acquire more things that moth and rust will destroy for you. More opportunities, more privilege, more. This last season of time, I've seen so many senior pastors come off of social media and everything else because they had a revelation that they had been giving themselves into areas that were not actually fruitful for them. They were trying to pursue increase in areas that were not actually God's intention for their life. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to back off. There is something so much more valuable than everything else combined. It's decades lived for Jesus. But it won't happen accidentally. It just will not happen. We're living in a generation, Matthew 24:12, where we're promised that the increase of wickedness is going to be on the rise and so much that it's going to do something to the love that's happening in people's hearts. This subject, this first and greatest commandment concept that we're talking about right now, says because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Stands firm for decades, if you will. The one that stands firm in their love for Jesus, even though we're in a culture, we're in an hour where there's increasing wickedness that's causing love to grow cold. Your love is either growing cold or growing hot right now. Your love this week for Jesus is either growing colder or it's growing hotter. I know these are like, boom, kind of sharp statements. I care about you. These are true statements. I don't want to hand you fluff. I want to give you the tools to help you realize in this moment, I am actually waning in my love for Jesus. Catch yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit for help and strength that you'd not go that direction, that our hearts would be burning, enduring to the end. Jesus gave us that warning in Matthew 24 for the generation that would need it the most. And I want to tell you, we're in it now. We're in it. I don't know if it started last week or a year ago or five. We're in it. We are in the generation where the love, where the increase of wickedness is so on the rise, where things that are totally crazy are being called good and normal and helpful, where wicked is being called good and good is being called evil. We're in that generation. It's a generation that Jesus promised. It's going to be so hard to keep your love growing hot in that generation because you're going to have so many reasons, so many things coming against you to steal that love out of your heart. We have got to be diligent. We have got to be diligent. When you find yourself in one of those moments where your heart is fading, 2 Chronicles 15:4 gives us a very simple answer. It's the same kind of thought process we've been looking at this entire series. In your distress, in the distress of your circumstances, in the distress of the feeling of the waning of the heart, in your distress of you just kind of looked up, you've been busy and you haven't really been thinking about the Lord for days, weeks, months, a year. You've not been giving yourself to the greatest commandment. In their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him. And guess what? He was found by them. Your answer is so simple. It's not hard. It is not difficult. You don't need to be a theologian. You can be as dumb as me. All you need to do is turn and seek him. And he will be found by you. And you can pursue greatest commandment love again today, no matter what yesterday held. You can do it today. In a pew, in a prison. You can do it anywhere. You can pursue God. Your life does not have to be defined by your circumstances. Your life can be defined by the greatest commandment despite whatever circumstances you're given. We need to stop making excuses about our lives. We need to give ourselves to be a people about the greatest commandment. I'm going to love you with all I got. And I'm going to ask you for help and grace. That Misty Edwards song, "How far will you let me go? How abandoned will you let me be?" I just, that one burns in me. I think about it all the time. All the time is exaggeration. Once a month, once every two months. How far will you let me go? How abandoned will you let me be? I don't want to just live this American life. I don't want to just do the tasks I'm supposed to do. I don't want to mostly be defined as pastor or even dad. I want to mostly be defined by heaven as one who burns with the greatest commandment in me. How far will you let me go? How abandoned will you let me be? What can I do? How can I posture my heart? I want my heart to burn for you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.